Hello, this is World Business Report from the BBC World Service, where we bring you the latest in money, marketing, manufacturing, and yes, much, much more. Please review us, rate us, share us wherever you can. BBC podcasts are supported by advertising.
I'm Gabriel Gatehouse, and from BBC Radio 4, this is Series 2 of The Coming Storm. There's a divide in American politics between those who think democracy is in peril and those who think it's already been subverted, hollowed out from the inside. As America prepares to elect its next president, we go through the looking glass into a world where nothing is as it seems and the institutions of the state are a facade. Listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Hello and welcome to World Business Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sam Fenwick. Today we're discussing the prices you pay for goods and services. Over the past few years, prices have been on the rise, but now are you starting to feel like you've got a little bit more money in your pocket?
We're originally from Bermuda and we're actually thinking about moving back home sooner rather than later just because of the cost of living compared to the wages here.
And it's not just consumers who have been feeling the pinch. Businesses too have been struggling, but are things starting to improve for them too?
I think we've seen sort of like a mass extinction of bad businesses. So if you are able to find that right idea right now, I think there's just more space for you to get your product out there and be heard.
So how is the economy faring? To explore this question, we've come to a bar called Seven Brothers near the BBC's Media City studios in Salford, in the heart of the north of England. During the programme, you'll hear the views of businesses here in the UK, as well as the United States. Now, it's an unseasonably warm day here for autumn in the north of England. The sun has drawn people out after work to the piazza where I'm sitting with my guests. Diners are enjoying their meals before heading to the theatre, which overlooks the Manchester Ship Canal. Children are playing on the lawn in front of me, and the occasional jogger keeps coming past from a local gym. Now, I'm joined by Russ Mould, Investment Director at AJ Bell. Russ, what do you think? As you look out across the piazza here, do you think people are feeling optimistic about the way they're feeling about their finances?
I think they're more optimistic than they were two or three years ago, because if you look at the GFK UK Consumer Index, it's improved massively from then, but go back to where we were 10 years ago, it's still lower. And I think inflation and higher interest rates have got an awful lot to do with that.
So you talked about higher prices. Over the past 4 years or so, consumer prices worldwide have been on the rise. In the United States, inflation soared to 9.1% in June 2022, marking its highest rate since November 1981. The same story in advanced economies around the world. Germany, inflation peaked at 8.8%. In the UK, it reached 11.1%. Now, the surge was primarily due to energy prices, a surge in energy prices, supply chain disruptions, and all of that was exacerbated by the war in Ukraine. In response, central banks increased interest rates to temper prices, and as a result, both prices and interest rates have started to decline. Now, later today, the US Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, will announce its latest decision on interest rates. And Russ, we're expecting lower rates for the first time in 4 years.
That's correct. And the financial markets are putting a two-thirds chance on a 1/2 percentage point interest rate cut. So a very dramatic move. More dramatic than they were expecting 3 or 6 months ago from Chair Jay Powell. And that's because the Federal Reserve has been giving strong signals. It's happy with where inflation is trending. It's now more worried about where unemployment is trending. Prices are rising less quickly, but unemployment is going up, and that's what they want to try and stop.
And how big a deal is that for the global economy if the Fed do this?
America is the world's biggest economy. So where America goes, the world will tend to follow. And with China, the world's second biggest economy, having its problems. Germany, the world's fourth biggest economy, having shrunk 4 times in 7 quarters. We need America to be strong.
So what will this mean for ordinary business owners in the United States? Well, the BBC's North America business correspondent, Michelle Fleury, has been to York in Pennsylvania to find out.
Golden and delicious.
That's the chicken thighs.
Caterer Jennifer Heasley prepares her signature fried chicken dish.
So that's your timer?
That is my timer. That's for the first half of the chicken, and then we have to set it for the second half of the chicken.
The owner of Sweet Mama's Mambo Sauce is all too familiar with the burden of higher borrowing costs. Finally, that is about to change. For the first time in 4 years, interest rates are about to come down.
For me, it is a big deal for it to come down.
For the maker of barbecue-style sauce, some relief. She's been paying a high rate on the credit card she uses to fund her business.
It's a big deal for me from the standpoint, like I said, from buying the equipment that I need. So those are large purchases. You know, if you're buying a piece of equipment for $1,500 and you're putting that on a credit card, if you're not paying that off, you're accruing quite a bit of interest on the card. It's also a big deal from the catering standpoint, because if people, let's say you're having a graduation party and someone's like, oh, I'm just going to throw it on the credit card. Historically, you know, people just doing it wouldn't be a big deal. And I would say now people have kind of maybe scaled back some of the purchasing if they were going to use a credit card simply for that reason.
When Jerome Powell visited Jennifer Heasley's food stall here in York, in the battleground state of Pennsylvania, he spoke of economic pain.
We need price stability. Price stability is just a critical piece of bedrock for the overall economy.
After raising interest rates 11 times, America's central bank is all but certain to start to unwind that. But how quickly they go down from here is still up for grabs.
Yeah, we're at White Clover Family Farm. This is a family farm in East York, Pennsylvania. It's about 56 acres. It's a small farm. And we are only about 3 years old.
Autumn marks a change. In farming, it's the time to harvest crops planted in the spring.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
At this farm shop in York, the rebirth of the economy as inflation falls closer to the Fed's official target of 2% presents an opportunity for farmer Nate Reedy.
How will lower interest rates help you?
A business that's about 3 years old is starting to think about growth through obtaining capital. The only way that a farm like us can grow through acquiring farmland is loans. And so, you know, access to capital and cheaper interest rates would allow us to think about preserving other farmland nearby.
So cheaper borrowing costs would allow you to invest for the future?
Invest for the future and preserve our community the way our community feels.
Still, the first rate cut since the pandemic may not fix America's tough housing market.
One of the most sensitive industries to interest rates is housing. I've come out to The View at Bridgewater, a newly built development here in York. Over 100 identical looking homes, fresh cut lawns and a golf course make up my backdrop.
This is our Parker Farmhouse in our Views of Bridgewater community.
Ben Rutt, director of marketing at Keystone Custom Homes, tells me that despite the mortgage squeeze, house prices have remained high.
We are seeing the same thing that others are seeing, which is the lock-in effect, where people are not moving from their homes because they have a low interest rate and they're not wanting that payment shock of going to a higher interest rate. It's simple economics 101, supply and demand, and there's not enough supply, but there's still significant demand in the market. People need to have housing. They need shelter. And so you are seeing prices are continuing to stay high.
So if you're going to add more demand to the market, because if you lower borrowing costs, then more people can suddenly afford things they couldn't before. Does that mean the housing market is poised to take off, to go gangbusters?
If you have interest rates declining, it's going to increase affordability. Buyers can afford more, and so you're going to see a continued increase in pricing. Tell me about the home you're looking for. You're describing like maybe a wraparound
open
porch.
Kitchen. Yep, wraparound porch.
So rates are on their way down. A potential boost to businesses and consumers like these prospective home buyers.
This is a pretty big office.
Got a lot of natural light.
But given the world's largest economy has been a bit up and down this year, the job of defeating inflation without triggering a recession could still be a long one.
That was Michelle Fleury reporting there from Pennsylvania. So businesses perhaps in the United States starting to feel a little bit more optimistic. How are they feeling here in the UK? Well, they woke up to the latest inflation data and it shows an interesting picture. Overall, it held steady at 2.2% in the year to August. But inflation in the service sector rose, as did core inflation, if you compare that with the previous month, which was July. Well, let's talk to Keith McAvoy now. He is one of the brothers who founded the chain of bars we're sitting in today called Seven Brothers. You also have a brewing company, don't you? And you sell into supermarkets. How have you found the last, you know, few years or so? Prices have been going up for your raw materials. Have you had to pass that on?
Yeah, so the last 5 to 6 years now have been the most challenging in our 10-year existence. I call it the triple whammy of Brexit initially causing undue stress on our business, and then the pandemic followed very swiftly by the conflict in Ukraine. All of those things had a direct impact on our cost of goods. So, for instance, our packaging, just cardboard alone, went up about 80%. Aluminium for our, the beer that we package into cans went up 50%. And our raw materials also went up, I would say, between 30 and 50%. So
they're big percentages.
They are,
aren't they?
Over 5 years, yeah.
Does that mean that the product that people are drinking here in the tables next to us, has that gone up as well?
It has, yeah. There's a limit to how much we can withstand as a business before we have to pass those rises in materials onto the public, and we try our best to kind of limit that. But eventually you have to.
Well, there has been some let up in prices, but families are still struggling, as our reporter Rachel Briggs has been finding out.
I'm just a stone's throw away from you on the green. It is a beautiful, beautiful day in Manchester, and it is very busy out today. We have lots of office workers, students, families, people making the most of the last of the sunshine in the UK. Lots of people bringing their own lunches. So I wanted to find out more about their cost of living.
So my name is Kiana, and I am a paediatric physiotherapist. Currently on maternity leave and just bringing my daughter for a walk.
Are prices falling or rising, or are they kind of staying the same?
I think they're definitely rising. My rent's actually just gone up in the past month, and we've also noticed just grocery shops are also a lot more recently. So I think things, yeah, are definitely. The only thing I've noticed that hasn't been going up much recently is the petrol.
How is it budgeting for a household with a family?
Yeah, it's tricky. Soon she'll be going into nursery, and then we'll have to factor in those costs. We're originally from Bermuda, and we're actually thinking about moving back home sooner rather than later, just because of the cost of living compared to the wages here.
It's Harry, hello. I work for the university, I work in events there.
And I can see you've got some takeaway lunch bags here.
I've got a McDonald's. Me and my girlfriend thought we'd treat ourselves today. So yeah, a bit lazy, but it's a little treat.
How are you feeling about the kind of cost of living crisis in general? Are you personally feeling any better off?
Yeah, I certainly haven't noticed myself being any better off than I was a few months ago. You know, if you've got something that's worth saving for, we're going on holiday next week, so we've been saving up for that a little bit.
What's your name and what do you do?
My name's Amir, and I do VFX and post-production in Uni of Salford. Recently, I just bought this coat. Now I'm going to have to go 2 weeks without eating food. I'm going to have to eat the food that I've got at home, like the pasta that's already made and all that stuff.
When you are spending money, what kind of things are you tending to spend it on?
No luxuries. Luxuries are gone now. So it's just essentials like toilet paper, washing up liquid, food for the house, eggs, butter, stuff like that.
That was Rachel Briggs speaking to some shoppers not far away from where we are right now. Keith McAvoy is here. He is the owner of the pub chain Seven Brothers. I mean, when you hear that young man talking there about how he can't eat for 2 weeks because he's bought a coat, what does that mean for your tills inside the bar?
Yeah, of course. We've definitely seen the impact of the problems that we've been experiencing from with inflation, interest rates initially going up, and something has to give. And where people may have been going, right, okay, I'm going to go out and have a good time. We're four times in the month. Now it's kind of declined to maybe one to two times. So people are having to choose very carefully over what they're going to be spending their money on.
And how do you entice them in? How do you make sure that when they do go out and spend that money, when they are going to treat themselves, that they come here?
It's about making things affordable. Also, the British pub is the foundation of communities, and it's very, very important that people are still able to come out. And it's not just about drinking alcohol. It's about being together as a community. It's great for mental health, and we try and put on events that and things that your traditional pub has always done, so people can still continue to get together. That's how we can entice them to come in.
Russ Mould here from AJ Bell. We are here in the heart of the north of England, in the city of Greater Manchester. Do you find that wages have gone up, but not enough to keep them spending in pubs like Keith's.
When UK inflation was running at 10 or 11%, wages were clearly not growing that fast. The good news is, on average now, wages are up around 5%. Inflation is 2.2%. But for those who are earning at the lower end of the income bracket, it's very, very tough for them because they spend a bigger percentage of their income on the basics like food and fuel and heating, and they're the ones who are feeling it worst.
Thank you very much, Russ. Thank you very much, Keith. We'll come back to you in...
Rising temperatures,
the extreme weather,
melting ice,
they're all interconnected.
How can we solve this?
The Climate Question is the podcast exploring why we find it so hard to save our own planet.
We have many of the tools that we need.
And how we might change that.
If we do smart things right now, we can take care of our descendants.
It is a question of awareness, it is a question of information and access to that information.
The Climate Question from the BBC World Service.
It is based on experience and it is based on science.
Listen now wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Moment, you are listening to World Business Report from the BBC World Service with me, Sam Fenwick. Now let's have a look at investor sentiment as they await the announcement from the US Central Bank later today. Global markets are in a state of cautious anticipation as traders are divided on whether the Federal Reserve will announce a rate cut of 25 or 50 basis points. Let's go live over to New York now. The BBC's business correspondent Rikita Gupta joins us. Give us a sense of what the mood is like in the city of New York.
Sam, I think there's uncertainty on Wall Street. I mean, this is a historical decision because we don't usually get so much division going into it. It's all but confirmed we're going to get a cut in interest rates. But as you mentioned, will it be 25 basis point cut or a more aggressive 50 basis point cut? Markets are fairly evenly split on the chances, and you're seeing stocks sort of treading water going into that decision, again, reflecting the uncertainty, even though we are trading around record highs.
What happens if investors price in one cut, but then they actually get another one?
I mean, that's the interesting question, because markets have just been so divided, and we won't have that answer until a few hours when we get that decision. And it's, again, the size of the cut that's up for debate. The risk now is going to be, if we don't get a 50 basis point cut, will the markets be disappointed? Will they think that the Fed is behind the curve, so too slow? But if we do get a 50 basis point cut, is that going to spook the markets? Are things worse than we thought on the economy? So it's going to be interesting to see what we get and how the markets take this. I think also what's going to be in focus is what Jerome Powell says in his press conference and the dot plot, so the projection of interest rate policy.
Rikita Gupta, thank you very much for joining us there live from New York. Well, in the past few years have been very uncertain for investors, and they've been moving their money away from certain sectors like tech and finance and into more stable markets like energy. And that was a problem for Alexandra Medina, who founded a fintech company, Fritch, in 2021. Now, initially, she found that investment was abundant and it flowed in, but then it changed early in 2022 when interest rates began to rise for the first time in years.
People were throwing around this term of free money, and I definitely can't undervalue what it meant for us as such young founders. We hadn't started a company before. We were considered very, very risky bet. You know, it was consumer facing. It's a fintech. It's first time founders. It's young female founders. So given all that, it was a period in time where the stars aligned and everything was so great for us to actually be able to raise money. And we were able to raise our first couple of investments with a very, very early prototype of the product. And we basically only raised with the promise of, one, like, we were so good at understanding our user base because we represented our user base ourselves. And two, we just could show such great traction in the early days. And back then, you know, the only thing that mattered for investors was user traction. It was sort of the phrase of growth at all costs. So that was really what we were experiencing back then.
Things changed quickly, though. That free money that you talked about suddenly got a little bit more expensive, didn't it? Because not much, only a year later, March 22, was when the Federal Reserve started increasing rates
for the first time since 2018.
So beginning of 2022, people were still sort of like pretty high spirits. By the end of 2022, when FTX collapsed, that was really when things turned really, really sour really fast. By then, I think everyone realized that they had thrown way too much money in anything that's related, even vaguely related to the term fintech, which we fell into that bucket of being fintech. People got really burnt by their investments and by just immediately overnight were like, this is just not where we're putting our money at. We no longer believe in consumer facing fintech. This is a bet we're not willing to take. So our investors were basically pushing us to call us anything but fintech.
So how did you pivot then? How did you pivot your business?
We did not pivot, actually. I am very, very happy that we stood our ground and we actually never got involved with Web3, crypto, anything like that, which I think kind of protected us from the worst fallout. But what happened was that, you know, suddenly overnight, no one was really pushing us to grow at all costs. And now suddenly people are like, okay, you need to reach profitability at all costs and you need to do it now.
How did you do that then? You must have had to have tightened the belts.
You know, we had to start accounting for every single dollar we spent, had to trim our team. We had to, you know, only leave the absolute necessities and just kind of weather the storm. And while we were doing that, we had to experiment and try and find every single way of reaching a point of profitability and proving to the people that had already invested in us that we can weather this and we can build a sustainable business with a sustainable revenue model.
Do you feel like you have come out the other side?
Yes.
Does it feel 100%. Like the other side now that, you know, inflation's starting to fall and we're talking about what the Fed might do today with interest rates?
Yes. You know, there was almost like a chokehold on the available money. All these fluffy businesses that only promised future gains and they were just promising huge user traction, they all kind of died out. And that's what we saw as well, was that a lot of the businesses that we saw coming up at the same time as we came up, a lot of them died out, and only the ones that were able to really put their heads down and focus on revenue and focus on just pushing through survived. And I would say that now the businesses that are on the other side right now, these are way more sustainable businesses. These are businesses that are built to be profit first, strong revenue. And I think what also happened is that because you don't have sort of quote unquote unlimited money to spend on marketing and user acquisition, you also were forced to really, really make sure that your product is speaking to the user and providing real value. It's not just a fluffy nice to have, it's a must have product.
It sounds like a very steep learning curve for two young business women.
Absolutely. Yes. Last year, I think, definitely aged us by 10 years at least.
Would you recommend that someone start a business right now? Or do we still need to iron out some economic problems?
I think it's a great question. I think after 2 years of like a very, very intense period for business founders, I think we've seen sort of like a mass extinction of bad businesses that were not sustainable, that were just kind of bringing in noise. You actually can benefit from the fact that a lot of businesses went under and now there's a little bit less noise for you to stand out there. So I would say it's a very, very interesting and potentially beneficial moment to start a company.
So that was Alexandra Medina, the founder there of a fintech company called Fritch, and they are based in New York. Now, Keith McAvoy has been listening to that, and I noticed that when Alexandra was talking about profit first and more robust companies kind of emerging from this, you were nodding, weren't you?
Yeah, it was, yeah. You know, we've had a period of consolidation over the last 12 months, and you have to become lean. You have to withstand and rise to the challenges that you have to face. And so both parts of our business, the retail bar side and the manufacturing brewery side, we've had to have laser focus on making sure it's as lean as possible. Yeah.
Do you feel more optimistic now today as we sit here?
Yeah, absolutely. We have weathered a storm as well. So we're just looking for opportunities now, although we're mindful of not overstretching ourselves, which we have done in the past. So we've learned quite a few lessons, and we're ready. We do feel optimistic, yeah.
A few years ago, before the pandemic, you were exporting
some
of your products to the United States. That had to stop.
It did, yeah.
Is that something that you're looking to? Is that one of the things that you'll start to look at expansion now?
Yes, it is, yeah. Expansion is the key. And you're quite rightly, in order to expand, one of the other people interviewed earlier was talking about you need funding for that. And we've had that considerable amounts over the years by raising funds to expand. You can overstretch, but export was one of the first things that had to end. But we're ready to begin that, and we're busy looking, you know, and applying for tenders for all kinds of opportunities. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Russ Mould. The Fed has been trying to avoid what they call a hard landing. That is effectively a recession. This is being seen as a bit of a monumental moment today, isn't it? But we can't forget that even though these rates are going to start coming down, we're not out of the woods, are we?
No, and the Federal Reserve took interest rates from 0% to 5.5% to try and put inflation back under control. The big question is now, if the American economy does slow down, how low do those interest rates have to go to get it back on the path that the Federal Reserve is comfortable with? And at the moment, by December 2025, markets think we'll be down at around 3% from 5.5%, so not back anywhere near the zero-ish where we got to before.
Now, we heard that the Federal Reserve rose interest rates 11 times in Michelle's piece. Do you think there'll be 11 falls?
I guess it depends on how quickly they move down to 3%. They could do it in big chunks if they wanted to. They normally like to move quite steadily in one quarter point cuts, but we have seen during the Great Financial Crisis, for example, they did move down much more quickly because things were going wrong.
And this pace of easing is something Jay Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve, talked about recently when all big economic minds met at Jackson Hole.
Again, markets like to think that central bankers are in control, and if they do it in steady movements, that's normally a good sign. The trouble tends to be when they're moving quickly, and that's, for example, why the gold price is now trading at all-time highs. Somebody out there somewhere thinks the Federal Reserve might not be in control, and they may have left interest rates too high for too long, so we'll see.
So it's a very difficult balance because they don't want to look like they don't know what they're doing, I suppose,
It's absolutely fundamental for financial markets to have confidence in, and the dollar to have currency to have confidence in them as well, and the dollar has been weak recently because the Fed may be cutting faster than markets thought maybe 3 or 6 months ago.
Just tell us very briefly before we go about oil, because oil prices have been up and down, and that could play into it, couldn't it?
That plays very strongly into inflation potentially, so a weak oil price is generally pretty helpful what the Federal Reserve is trying to do, yes.
Russ Mould, thank you very much as ever for joining us today outside Seven Brothers here in Greater Manchester. Thank you also to Keith McAvoy, who has been our host at Seven Brothers. He's getting quite busy. The sun is still shining. Thank you very, very much for listening. I'll be back at the same time tomorrow.
Rising temperatures,
the extreme weather,
melting ice,
they're all interconnected.
How can we solve this?
The Climate Question is the podcast exploring why we find it so hard to save our own planet.
We have many of the tools that we need.
And how we might change that.
If we do smart things right now, we can take care of our descendants.
It is a question of awareness. It is a question of information and access to that information.
The Climate Question from the BBC World Service.
It is based on experience and it is based on science.
Listen now wherever you get your BBC podcasts.